Greetings, Flesh Wound Horror Freaks, and welcome to Flesh Wound Horror Live. I am Flesh Wound Dan, joined by producer Todd, or inmate 187.
304, come on, do the whole thing.
304, I don't remember all the numbers, but yeah.
It's very easy. What up?
What up? And Mike Krueger.
What's up, you sick motherfuckers?
So we already have an active chat. We're talking porn stars. We're talking some of the movies we're covering tonight. Very active. And it's always great to see that. Too long a question to list, but Big T Isabel Soprano is alive and well.
Isabella Soprano. Come on,
get Isabella it right. Soprano, yes. She is alive and well, and I am not sure what she's doing now. Marrying a bigwig makes sense, though, because I haven't heard shit from her. So she's probably making babies with a very lucky man. So, yeah. Anyways, kicking that off. Thank you guys for staying up late with us once again. We do appreciate it. Shout out to everybody in the chat so far. Big T Zombie in here early. Kendrick, how's it going, man? Ben, of course. And well, we're gonna kick it off. We had some news today, I believe.
You hit the news, Dan, why don't you tell us what's going on with voting and we're up for something? Oh.
We'll do that for sure. All right. So, guys, and I am going to – well, we have the link in the – we will have the link in the description.
It's already in the description.
All right. Link
is in the description. Vote for us.
Yes. Link is in the description. We are voted for Horror YouTubers of the Month, with the Horror Podcast of the Month, which we were nominated by Garrett at Born to Be Rad. Very kind of him, and shout out Garrett if you listen to this episode. So basically, you go to Garrett's video and you type flesh wound features in the comments if you want to vote for us. This is pretty big. We've got some pretty stiff competition, so but we're doing okay so far. So type us in. If we do win this, we get to highlight, I believe, five other channels, smaller channels, and in the community. So we'll get to put some eyes on, you know, people like Mike and so forth. So, you know, also a vote for us. Well, we'll see. But we'll get to highlight some of the channels and some of the people you get to see. So it's not just a vote for us. So
and again, the link and the instructions are in this description. The first thing, vote for us. Yes. It tells you what to do. It has the link to the video. You click on, type Flesh Wound Features, and it helps us win.
Yeah, yes, much appreciated if you guys do that.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And for you guys who already supported us.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Thank you for all your votes. I actually looked at the video today and we got quite a bit. I was surprised. So appreciate all the love out there.
Yes, we do appreciate it. And also congratulations to Garrett for winning, because he is this month's winner. And we'll see if we can make it happen again. So we appreciate it, guys, as always. And so many of you have already voted, and seriously, it means a lot. We appreciate it.
And I did want to say welcome to our new Patreon. I'm hoping I'm saying it right. Tanya Backman. I'm sorry if I'm saying it wrong.
Maybe Tanya. I don't know.
Jesus. Yeah, I should.
Either you get Tanya out of Tanya, Todd.
Well, he said with the Y. It's not spelled like the traditional.
Yeah, it's spelled differently. Like the traditional way is T-A-N-Y.
If you're watching us, please correct us if we're wrong.
Tanya Backman.
But yeah, thank you for your support. Much appreciated. Patreon.com/fleshwoundfeatures starts at just $1. We always appreciate that support from you guys.
Yes, and so next week's show, you will be able to see early. We're going to be live on Patreon this Sunday. at 1 a.m. Eastern time. So if you're a patron, you get to watch us live. Otherwise, you can still watch us, but it'll be, you'll have to wait till Wednesday. It won't be live.
Yeah.
So there you go. All starts at just a buck and you get to watch us. So, yeah. So I think that's everything on the self-promotion front. But we did have some big news that Kruger has for us.
Yeah. So today it was announced that Screams 4, Hayden, I'm going to butcher her last name, Pantera. Kirby from Scream 4 will be returning in the Scream franchise in Scream 6, which is really fucking awesome because it was kind of up in the air, you know, if her character would ever make a return. I know she was kind of rumored as, you know, a killer maybe for Scream 5. So I'm interested to see what they're going to do with her character. I think she's undoubtedly one of the best new additions to the Scream franchise when it comes to like Scream 4. Like, she was like the best part of that movie for me, at least. And yeah, just really looking forward to that. I love her character, and I think she's going to add a lot. I also noticed that I didn't see Courtney Cox on the casting.
Yeah, maybe they're just...
I'm wondering. I didn't see her or I forgot Neve Campbell. I didn't see either. Yeah, I didn't see either one of them. Maybe it was just the casting I was looking at, though. I could be wrong on that, but I'm curious if they keep them around. Because if they don't, I kind of am upset that at least they didn't take out two legacy characters in the last movie. If you know they're not going to ever return again.
The two that should have died.
I'm still to this day, I think like it would have been way awesome if you killed Sydney and Dewey and just had, you know, Gail Weathers basically tell these kids to fuck off in the next movie. And, you know, so she doesn't even like involve herself in anything because she lost everybody. And it's kind of her fault that the kills happened to begin with. So that could have been a really cool character arc. And I'm kind of upset, you know, I still like Scream 5 a lot. But I do kind of wish they would have killed off more than just Dewey.
I think they've almost lost their chance to do it now. I don't think it would mean anything. I kind of hope none of them are in it, to be honest.
I hope it's just the new guys. Yeah, the new guys. Yeah. I think in order for this to be stretched on for, you know, maybe another five movies, they're going to need to kind of separate themselves from the legacy characters.
We have to start. Well, the fans have to start looking at them like they look at a Nev Campbell or a Courtney Cox. They have to be as engaged. Otherwise, it's just like, oh, we're going to drag these people in for these little cameos. And
I don't necessarily think that's going to be too hard either with Jenny Ortega. You know, she's kind of become, you know, the new Scream Queen in the last few years. So, looking forward to Scream 6, though. And it's weird that I'm saying that. I was just a few years ago thinking about Scream 5 or 6 was just kind of foreign to me. And it's weird that we're kind of thrown right back into this franchise again. But I'm all for it. If only we can get a Texas Chainsaw Massacre sequel now, then I'll be extra happy. But
honestly, I'm kind of surprised they haven't announced something as of yet.
Well, it didn't get glowing reviews, so it wouldn't surprise me if they didn't. But
speaking of Legendary, another film was just announced today that it was rated R. We're talking about Toxic Avenger, and it was was rated R for strong gore and brief graphic nudity. You know, so
Dinklage Dick. That's what it is. I'm calling it now.
NDA.
They're getting us excited, and it's just going to be Dink doing a little helicopter. That's what it's going to be.
God, doing the helicopter dick from fucking Bunny the Killer.
You're
thing.
Such an asshole because NDR is making me be quiet.
Yeah, Todd can't say a word. So, yeah, that's my prediction. Dink waving.
But I'm just going to go out on a limb and say Dan's going to be wrong as always.
All right.
No, I think I'm right. We'll see. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to Toxic Avenger. I may not like it, but at least it's
I know Lloyd last said it was going to be on Netflix, but again, I don't know if he just misspoke because HBO Max would also make sense because it's Legendary and Warner Brothers. But it could also be payback for Godzilla. Now we're taking it to Netflix. but I hope people get to see it on the big screen.
Netflix at this point needs buzzworthy titles because they are in trouble right now. So
I'm waiting for the HBO Max documentary about Netflix at this point.
I'm wondering if it is Netflix though, because Legendary they are in charge of that Godzilla series we're getting, and that's coming out on Apple Plus. So I don't know if there's any correlation to that either. But either way, fucking can't wait to see the new Toxic Avenger. I absolutely love the original, and I think it's one of those movies that can be remade without completely, you know, just pissing off fans. I think if it's done right, it's going to be an awesome fucking tribute to an awesome original film. And that's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, I don't know anything because, of course, Todd's legally bound. But I think it's going to be a tough one. I think it's going to be tough to get the Troma fans. And they need more than that anyways. But I don't know. No, not to show up. I mean, just to satisfy, because I it's going to be hard to, I mean, you're not going to have the cornholing a blind chick scene, you know, you're not, there's a lot that you're not, I mean, Dink isn't tall enough to do that anyways. So, you know, there's just a lot of,
Jesus, you know, that's not who cornholes anyone. You do know that, right?
I know, but I'm trying to make the joke work, God damn it.
But you can't make the joke work if you're, oh, okay, I'm sorry. You're changing the facts to make it fit work for your narrative.
Exactly.
I understand. God, like God people damn it. Do.
God damn it. So anyways, just sell it, Todd. Sell the joke.
Absolutely not. We're not playing with
this. That was a good one, and you should have given
it. It was not a good one because it didn't make sense. It was factually inaccurate.
It is a remake. He could be the one that cornholes the blind. Yeah, but he could cornhole him in the remake. It's a re-envision thing that, yes, Dink could cornhole somebody in theory. He'd just need a ladder. So, anyways. We have weird arguments on this show, don't we?
Dan's just trying to be as offensive as he can to the Peter Dinklage fan club and his community. So.
Well, yes, because we already know he's already had one upset and ban us.
He has something against these people, I think.
Love him. I loved him in WWF with Doink. They were an awesome act. I can't wait.
In about 2 years, these sentences Dan has just spoke will get him canceled.
Yeah, and he's already worried about us getting canceled, and here he is doing it himself.
I'm not putting him over. I love them. You remember when Doink fought Bam Bam?
Yeah, but you're also taking shots at the fact that he may not be able to reach somebody's pelvis.
He's basically saying they all look alike because Peter Dinklage did not work at WrestleMania 2 versus King Kong Bundy or the other one that you got mad at you.
He can step on my shoulders and cornhole. Yeah,
we're digging ourselves a bigger and bigger hole.
Joke. I still remember some other jokes that were made. Looking back are not the best. I'm telling you, Dan, 2 years, you're going to be like...
You remember Header? I'll just help him out. I'll do the,
In 2 years, Dan's going to be like, can we pull this episode?
What do we got going on tonight?
And remember, you can vote for us right now for Horror Podcast of the Month.
You can. It's a prestigious award that should go to a prestigious podcast like ours. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there'll be no more cornholing if we don't win.
Where Dan wants to play all the little people parts from everything else now.
Yes.
Huh. What do you call that? Short face?
They are doing a new Lord of the Rings on Amazon. I need to audition for it. Just, you know, I could pull off hairy feet. Make it happen. Anyways.
First film of the evening is...
Yeah, let's talk Suicide. Suicide for Beginners. Brand new film from director Craig Thiemann, and in this movie, writing the perfect suicide note isn't easy. Murdering a garage full of people is also pretty hard, but getting your victims to like you while you kill them, that's the really tricky part. All right, so Suicide for Beginners. This is so we were talking about this before earlier in the chat. with Zombie and Big T. So I believe this is the last one with Sid Haig to come out. As far as I'm aware, there's nothing left. I think he's got some voice.
This is correct. Part. Yeah, this is the last film to come out featuring him.
He looked a little more healthy here than he did in Three from Hell.
And Hanukkah, too.
Compared to Three from Hell, he was...
Hanukkah, yeah.
Yeah, he was... He looked like himself here. Hanukkah, it was a little... But yeah, not Three from Hell.
Yeah, and it's an indie film, so it could have been sitting.
I was going to make a Firuza Balk joke, but I'm just going to skip it.
Firuza Balk, the goddess. The goddess. Yeah, I'd be Well, never mind. So, Suicide for Beginners. So this movie is not a horror film per se. It is a dark comedy, but it does get a little gory. It kind of reminded me almost similar to like a Tucker and Dale sort of film where it starts off, he's trying to get this one girl and he ends up having to kill a whole lot of people through circumstance. And that's kind of the theme. He's kind of like this pathetic incel type dude. And he kills one and it gets really, really complicated with the neighbors. And I would kind of compare it, you know, like a dark comedy, like a 12-Hour Shift, which I think has been one of the better ones in recent years that we covered with Angela Bettis. 100 Bloody Acres is another one I'd throw out there. I like dark comedies and this worked for me. I can see it not being funny for everybody though. And I'm very curious if it hit for you guys. It does have a cameo from Corey Feldman that's actually pretty funny, and I don't like him personally, but I did personally. Actually. Yes, personally.
He busted out the Crisco on you?
No Crisco, not that personal. But
again, you can vote for us.
He was an asshole, though. But yes, I like these kinds of movies. Now, I see a lot of reviews that are just going to say, oh, the lead, he's just so unlikable and he's our protagonist. But
it's kind of the point. He's a
That I just see a lot of people saying it. But I didn't like any of the other. The only person I really liked in this was Sid Haig. And
the pizza guy and his girlfriend were hilarious. Like they weren't likable, but they were fucking funny as shit.
I'm with you on
that. They were. I wish we had a higher, like, we do have a high body count. I wish the body count was a little higher with the main cast, though.
I get that.
But yeah, this one made me laugh. It actually did. It was just right for me. It doesn't get too stupid. Some of the scenes where he's got to like chase the old dude down the street and just clean all this, the scene in the car, and I won't give it away, actually had me rolling. Just the way they did that, where he's like the look in his eyes and everything. That was just so funny. And just real quick before I tag out, Sid Haig, it put a smile on my face seeing him in this, still healthy, still hilarious in this. I don't know, he doesn't have a ton of screen time, but it is more than a cameo.
More than Hanukkah, I think.
Oh, a lot more than Hanukkah, yeah. A lot more than Three from Hell.
Yeah, and Three from Hell. I think this is the most he's been in it since... probably that Cynthia movie. You guys remember that? The weird abortion.
It's been a minute, and this made me happy to see him one last time.
Yeah, for sure.
So, what did you think, Kruger?
I mean, I love Sid Haig to death, and just seeing him on screen alone made me extremely happy. But like the fact that his character had some pretty funny one-liners too. Like I didn't quote the exact thing, but he tells the main killer like he's gonna rip his balls out from inside up his ass, like inside his intestines. And I'm like, that's fucking great. And his part made me laugh. I love the, like, the side characters I thought were all fun. Like the pizza guy and his fucking sweaty girlfriend that like their weird hospitality towards the killer in the beginning made for like a lot of fun, awkward moments, especially when like the pizza guy's girlfriend would go off screen. He's like, dude, I'm so sorry. Like, I did not want to fucking come here. And yeah, it was a good time. It had me laughing. It definitely could have used like some more like blood and gore, I think. Like, if you wanted to go full horror and less, and you know, have a happy medium in between the two, you need a little bit more gore, I think. Maybe a nice decap or something like that. And we never really got anything to that extent. That being said, though, the kills that were there, they were pretty well done. There were some moments that I especially was laughing. Like you said, the fact that this guy just, you know, at first he's trying to kill one person, and he ends up having to kill like, you know, like 15 different fucking people because they keep catching them. That just made for a lot of fun comedy bits. And like you said, the scene with the car was fucking great. And yeah, it was just a good time. You know, it's nothing that I don't think I'll necessarily like have to go and rewatch, but as an Sid Haig's last movie, definitely worth checking out for him alone. And there's, and you know, this isn't just something to check out for him, because it is pretty funny. And I think if you are into dark comedies, and you hit the nail on the head with 12 Hour Shift, I think if you like that movie, you'll enjoy this one quite a bit too.
Absolutely.
100% agree with that. I had a great time with it. I wasn't sure what I was expecting, because, you know, we had a run of movies with Sid Haig that were not the greatest. And I kind of was expecting a blink and you'll miss some cameo. But, yeah, I was happy with the screen time. His character looked great, you know, then. So, for me, I thought it was a good send-off. It wasn't a bad note. As much as...
Most everything he's done since Devil's Rejects, if we're being honest.
Yes, this is true.
It's not a lot.
100%.
Yeah.
And the missed opportunity with Three from Hell, unfortunately, to be his, you know. I mean, if he was still in better health and that was his swan song, I think that movie would have been much better if he was actually in the role that was written for him. Because that one doesn't really hold up for me. I still have fun with it, but it's no Devil's Rejects.
That's like trying to like recreate a masterpiece.
Though, no, you know, I agree. I mean? Okay, then I'll do this. It's no House of 1,000 Corpses.
That's my favorite one.
Okay, so
I think Devil's Rejects and House are masterpieces in their own rights for very different reasons.
Man, we should talk about that. We've never actually all sat down and really talked about those three, so we'll have to do that in the future.
I'm fucking in.
I knew you would be down. But yeah, this one, it was a good time. It's worth checking out.
And it also, I mean, it's a low budget movie, but it didn't really feel like it. Like, there was no, you know, crappy CG. There was no poor acting. In fact, I think everybody delivered a pretty good performance. Like I said, comedy is very subjective. Not everybody's going to maybe laugh as hard as we did, but I do think the towards the end, it could have popped a little bit more. Yeah. I don't think it had like the perfect ending, and I might actually have gone higher than I'm going to go. But yeah, I would definitely check this out. It's distributed by Vertical, I believe, which means you'll probably get a $10 DVD if you buy physical media. Or you can get it, of course, streaming anytime. So, Kruger, what say you?
I was tossed up between a 3 and a 3.5, but I think a 3 out of 5 is more respectable for this. Like you said, the ending could have been a little bit better, and some scenes of gore would have did this well. But 3 out of 5, still a good time, and I still definitely recommend to check it out.
I'm a 3 out of 5 as well, but there are moments where this was even higher than that.
Yeah,
particularly for sure. the spree where he just couldn't stop killing. How about you, Todd?
I was a 3 initially, but that post or mid-credit sequence, I was happy with that, so I'm giving it 3.5. That saved it for me.
Yeah, that shit was pretty funny when they're like being interviewed and the dude's right behind. Yeah, that was good shit. I always love we don't get that enough with horror comedies, I don't think. Like we should have got that with what was it? 12 Hour Shift with like Mick Foley fucking killing some motherfuckers or something.
12 Hour Shift was so good.
I liked it more like along the level of something like this, just because, you know, we didn't have the gore or anything. But Mick Foley doing his fucking Mankind walk into that hotel hospital ready to fuck everybody up at the end credit was the best thing ever.
I wanted him to do his like running knee in the corner and just have somebody's head explode like against a wall or something.
Dude, why they haven't had, like, I don't know how well he can move around right now, but like why they didn't have him play a killer in some fucking horror movies beyond me.
I had a almost not quite finished script for a wrestling horror movie years ago, one of the many things that did not get made, unfortunately, but I actually had that kill mapped out in my head with Foley like just running with the knee and just
exploding. Is he gonna do the bang bang right before?
Probably, yeah. Well, or whoever. I doubt I could have afforded Mick Foley on our kind of budget, but you never know. Maybe
I'm surprised you didn't.
Roller coasters.
I'm surprised you didn't have like Mr. Socko ripping off the bottom of someone's jaw or something.
I had a whole bunch of assuming I can get the right people. Like, okay, how would you do a really cool gore scene with moves? Who knows? I might get back to it someday, so I won't.
Well, if you need a wrestler.
There you go.
I was waiting for Dan to say, who do you recommend?
I've got some.
He would have fucking got the shit kicked out of him.
But then I still hope he says it.
I've got some stuff in your moveset that I can think of ways to kill people with.
As long as I can German suplex somebody and their head flops off after, then I'm in.
There you go. Oh, yeah. Oddly enough, I can't think of a German suplex kill.
Or like they fall on the, like neck first and it's just all twisted back.
Yeah.
Like they took maybe a bad bump. Yeah. Some shit
I've probably like seen something like that in like an Asian action movie, but yeah, we'll make it happen. So, all right. Moving on to our next film, which is A Banquet, correct? Because I fucked my notes up.
Yes, it is.
Thank you, Tom. All right. So, yes, our next film is A Banquet from director Ruth Paxton. And in this one, a widowed mother is radically tested when her teenage daughter insists a supernatural experience has left her body in service to a higher power. All right. So, Kruger, what do you think about A Banquet?
I can definitely see fans, fans of folk horror really enjoying this movie. For me, like, it's very much a slow burn, and I don't think it necessarily ever pays off like the way I wanted it to, or, you know, just the way I found super entertaining. There is one dream sequence that has this really disgusting practical effect in it, and that was really cool, but outside of that, I just didn't really find myself interested or, you know, really enjoying watching this movie. You know, the acting is all competent and it's very well shot and everything like that. But I feel like, I don't know if you'll get this too, because you just watched it too, Dan, but I felt like The Feast that we just watched had kind of similar things going on. And it was just much more entertaining and more of a compelling story to watch play out on screen. I think this probably would have worked better as a short, but I didn't overall like completely hate it. I just think it could have been better, and people that aren't fans of slow burns aren't going to like this at all, especially, and even if you are, it may be a little bit questionable because I don't necessarily think it pays off like some of the great slow burns do. But you know, I could be wrong. I'm also not really a huge folk horror guy unless we're seeing a lot of visceral stuff on screen happening. So, That was kind of where my qualms were with the movie, but I do think it's about average.
Well, you definitely nailed it, I think, on the short film side of things, because there's not a whole lot of plot development. The story kind of meanders around a little bit and doesn't really progress much. It's extremely well acted. Sienna Guillory as Holly, the mom, and Jessica Alexander as Betsy are fantastic. I mean, the whole movie is essentially, you know, it's about the daughter who all of a sudden stops eating and but doesn't lose weight. So the whole thing, it's like supernatural or eating disorder. And it's, you know, a commentary on.
I just don't mean to interrupt, but I think it was a little bit too, like, more of an analogy about drug addiction as well.
Suicide.
Like the drug addiction thing, I think, was also a little bit too literal, because, like, literally she takes drugs and then that's when everything starts happening. So I thought that was kind of silly, but yeah, go ahead.
No, I mean, that's essentially the story. And it's just, you know, well, wait, is this really happening? Or is, you know, is this kind of all in their head? The director, I know at one point in the script had said, like, that we see, like, the daughter lose a ton of weight and basically wither down to nothing. And the whole thing was, you know, it's, she doesn't see it, so they leave it a little, you know, ambiguous. But obviously that changed at some point. There's a really good idea here. It just, the script kind of fails it. In fact, pretty heavy emotional moment with the mom and the daughter towards the end of the movie. And I mean, the whole thing kind of timely with all the, you know, stuff in the news about, you know, controlling women's bodies. The director based this on a historical Victorian era thing called the Fasting Girls, kind of an era where women would claim that they were in communication with God or a higher power, and they proved their devotion through fasting. So that's kind of the genesis of this story. And it's a really interesting idea. Again, it's just not a whole lot happens in this, which is a shame, too, because this is something that I'm inclined to really, really like. It has moments that made me almost think of St. Maude, but it doesn't, unfortunately, it doesn't deliver like St. Maude does. Yet I do think there's people out there that will see something in this movie. It's a one-time watch for me, but it, at least it was interesting. A lot of you are going to think it's kind of a slog to sit through, though.
Yeah,
just being honest.
The one thing I actually forgot to say, the first 40 minutes, man, I mean, it drags ass. Like, it picks up at some point, but, like, that first 40, I mean, you're definitely clock watching, like, Jesus Christ, it hasn't, nothing's happened, and we're, you know, 35, 38 minutes into this thing. Yeah, that kind of actually hurt some of the experience for me, too. I'm more remembering, like, the second half of the movie, because, like, you're really waiting around a lot in the first 40.
Yeah, it does. Again, like I said, it they probably could have pulled off a really good short, and it does have its moments. This is one of those ones I'm just like, man, they just didn't quite bring it home. I would love to remake it, and I'd remake it with the same cast and, you know, find a way to make it work. But
more of those nasty dream sequences would have did it some good, you know?
Yeah. There is some pretty gross imagery.
I mean, one gross image, I think.
Yeah. It's not gore. It's just, but effective. Just,
should have kept it for the very end, maybe. I mean, it was just weird where it was placed, because, like, that happened and that was, like, the peak of the movie, and it never got to that peak again.
Yeah. No, it didn't. And it's ironic because it's not the first, not the only movie dealing with an eating disorder tonight, which just kind of a random thing. We didn't put it together that way on purpose or anything, but unfortunately this one is a miss overall, but you may want to check it out for yourself and see it. There's definitely a lot of complex emotions in here that that might still connect with you. So might still be one that you see something in.
Did you understand what I mean with my comparison with the Feast though?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, yeah, absolutely.
Like,
yeah.
Like I think you're gonna have a much better time watching that movie. It has similar things going on. Maybe not so much like the eating disorder, but mm-hmm. some of the family drama and yeah.
The director also had an eating disorder, she had claimed. So like there's a lot, I'm sure there's plenty of you out there that might watch this movie and see yourself in it, and it might have a little something more. I'll revisit this one down the line because I thought it was, you know, interesting enough. I have to give that. I mean, it's so well made. I'm still giving this 2.5 stars, but it is unfortunately a disappointment.
I'm a little bit lower. I'm a 2 out of 5.
Okay. All right. Nah, fair enough. Well, they'll get them next time, but keep an eye on Jessica Alexander, who played Betsy. I can see some big things for her down the line.
I saw that she's going to be in the new Little Mermaid movie or something like that. It popped up on her letterbox.
Oh, really? The mermaid?
No. Playing some other character.
Oh, okay. Okay, that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually one I wouldn't like. One move, like one of those Disney like live action ones that I wouldn't mind seeing.
Hmm. Yeah, we'll it'd be kind of surreal to do a Disney show at Flesh Wound, but we can at least do some of the old school stuff. You know, Something Wicked This Way Comes, Return to Oz.
Absolutely, her best film.
Yeah, well, she was always great, Todd. So,
her best film.
Are we counting American History X? Because American History X is a fucking awesome. Yeah,
it's awesome, but it doesn't have that nostalgia spot for me. Return to Oz.
Oh, dude, I love American History X.
Yeah, it is. It's a great, fantastic movie. I don't know if nostalgia for it's the right word.
There's nostalgia for me for sure. Like fucking, I'll give you a little backstory to this. I fucking was just looking up like fucked up movies when I was, I can't remember how old I was, but I was just like on YouTube and mm-hmm. just looking for fucked up scenes. And the curb stomp scene came up and it like shocked the fuck out of me, like completely shocked me. My little brain could not comprehend what the fuck it just saw. And then like about 2 weeks later, I watched the whole movie, when I probably shouldn't have. For sure. And it just blew my mind that cinema could be that raw and fucked up, and holds a special place in my heart. I love that movie.
Yeah. Yeah. See American History X. Yeah. Shut the fuck up, Todd.
Oh, you don't love it too?
I love the movie. It's about a very horrible thing. Stop making fun of my heritage, motherfucker. So, anyways. Moving on.
You're not the only German one here, fucker.
Oh, I didn't know you had German in you, Kruger. But you were
my shoot last name is a fucking river in Germany.
Okay. I did not know that. I thought you said you were Italian.
I'm half Italian, half German.
Well, you they must have looked like you're makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, moving on
to our next film, which is Cosmic Dawn, correct? Because I dropped my notes, so I'm not even going to pretend that I, yeah, so I messed up the order. But anyways, thank you for the save. Cosmic Dawn. All right, so Cosmic Dawn is from writer-director Jefferson Manio. And in this one, after witnessing the alien abduction of her mother as a child, Aurora joins the UFO cult, the Cosmic Dawn. Now moved on from the cult, Aurora is forced to confront her past and pursue the ultimate truth about the Cosmic Dawn. All right. I'll tag you in first, Kruger, but before I do, I am very disappointed that Zuckerberg didn't show up in this movie.
Right? Or like somebody that looked like him, that would have been pretty cool.
Yeah, I would have just straight up CG'd him at just like you know, touching the forehead.
Would have been great. Yeah. Oh man. So Cosmic Dawn. So the one thing I'll say about this movie is I do recommend it, but I recommend you do not watch the fucking trailer for it. Mainly because the trailer sells it like it's going to be kind of like a horror film, and it's not a horror film really at all. It's just more of this strange cult alien and, you know, alien abduction, cult type movie. And, I really do wish it had more horror elements in it, because when they were on screen, I was like glued to it. And there's not a lot, maybe like 15 to 30 second scenes. But the scenes that were there were really fucking cool. And that's kind of why it had my attention throughout the whole movie. It's not something like I necessarily would like need in my collection. Or at nothing that, you know, I'm going to rewatch anytime soon. But I think if you're in the mood for something weird, this definitely suffices. And, you know, just do yourself a favor and expect more weird than, you know, horror aliens, you know, probing people and doing weird shit. It's much more like kind of weird. And this doesn't give anything away, but weird alien cult thing going on and lizard people. So there you go.
Yeah, it's a very quirky movie. Very eccentric. I would have liked a little more character development with Aurora. Again, very good performance by Camille Rowe, but like, I don't know, I just feel like she doesn't really grow at all throughout the movie.
I think her character though is more kind of supposed to be shown as a husk, you know what I mean? Just because like the abduction has affected her, you know, so much, you know, in the beginning we see that, you know, she's kind of, she does drugs and is in the party scene. So I feel like the reason we didn't get a lot of character development with her is because like, she's so focused on her mom thing that like, we're kind of following that story, but I get what you mean. They definitely like, she could have had a little bit more to her.
Yeah. It's funny, actually, towards the earlier part of the film, which I think was probably the most interesting, yeah. I almost got kind of a Night House vibe in a weird way. But yeah, it'll definitely let you down if you're a horror fan. There's nothing really in here that's going to, you know, unnerve you in any way. Maybe the very beginning, I don't know. But it's more trippy than anything. I can see some people having an issue with the non-linear plots. We keep jumping back and forth. I think it was like 10 or 4 years or whatever it was. And I could see that being kind of an issue for some people, because you do have to actually sit down and pay attention. If you're, you know, half paying attention, it's like, well, wait a minute, is this the past or the present sort of deal? It has moments like when the cult started singing that UFO song.
Yeah, it was weird.
It kind of made me laugh a little bit, but it was also creepy at the same time. Yeah. It reminded me of Heaven's Gate. It really did. I was kind of like, this is, and I don't know, for like a minute, I'm like, are we going to get some dark comedy here? Cause this is just weird. But look at, what's his name? Applewhite. The head of Heaven's Gate. Mm-hmm. Like, it's hard in your head to think who is chopping their balls off for this nutbag, but you know, hey,
I mean, I said that watching, I forgot what it was called. It was, about that guy, Pagwan.
The guru guy.
Yeah. It was like some like mini series on Netflix. Yeah. I was like, what the fuck are these guys doing?
Yeah, was that in Oregon or something? I know which one you're talking about.
I think it originated in India. I could be wrong. It's been a minute since I've watched it. But yeah, it reminded me of that too. I think if you're like super into cults, I think you will actually like this movie. You know, it just understand it does go off the rails in certain areas.
Yeah, I actually heard somebody say that this movie doesn't really have a message or a point. I would argue that. I think it's, at the end of the day, about being a skeptic, and it does have a statement about being a skeptic about, you know, everything. I don't want to give anything away, but it does also have a great, for you Carpenter fans, a really good score by Alan.
Score is fantastic.
Yeah, Alan Howarth. So there's a lot to like here. I did actually like this, and I probably will pick it up because it's a cheap Blu-ray.
Yeah, it's like $8 on Amazon right now.
Yeah, so I may still pick this one up. It is an oddball flick, and I don't, maybe make it the opening of a double feature with like Communion or Fire in the Sky, both superior movies. But
Fire in the Sky is fucking a lot better than this, but I get what you mean. Yeah. This is just like
the appetizer to the main event.
Yeah, I feel like if you're going in expecting an alien abduction movie, you're going to be disappointed. It focuses more on these fucking weirdos that are worshiping these aliens and the cult and the ins and outs that happen with that. But like the scenes that were there, like it kind of disappoints me. Like I thought like the opening scene, and you see it in the trailer, but with the like reptilian hand, you know, reaching out for the little girl, like some of that imagery was really fucking good. Or like the lizard people in the fucking club, and them just like being on screen for like less than a second. Like it had its moments, but never goes like, you know, full V or anything like that, which would have been fucking amazing. But
are you a V fan? I don't think we've ever, V's never come up.
The mini series I love. And the, you know, but I haven't seen the new V stuff at all.
Okay. The original is the better one. I
really like the new one. It's just that we never got a complete finale. But honestly, for V, that actually makes sense because they've never been able to just run it and finish it. It's always been start stop.
Another good double I actually would recommend with Cosmic Dawn is Pizzagate Massacre. You'll understand why if you've seen both of them. They're and both non-horror movies that are just really weird about, you know, cults and Illuminati type shit. So I think you'll have a good time with that double feature too. They probably put Pizzagate Massacre as the main event though.
Yeah, it's interesting right now, particularly the subject of aliens, because there's all of this legit
shit,
government documents and shit that we know that they've been concerned about. And so it is interesting. We never get to talk sci-fi here very often. So, but maybe it's not sci-fi. Shut up, Todd. We're just going to have a month of all like hard sci-fi. It's going to all be like,
how's that going to happen?
Yeah. Todd's not going to want to produce that shit.
Make it happen. But, random convention story. Do you guys, if you don't know the name, you know, the actor, but do you know, Taylor Negron
from,
God, a bunch of comedies, Biodome, you'd know the face, but he passed away, I think, a few years or so back. But he randomly at a convention was going up, and I don't think it was shtick, but he was just randomly talking to people about whether they believed in aliens and if they had like an alien encounter. It was like a really surreal thing. Friendly guy, weird as shit, but like friendly guy. It was just one of the stranger, like, and he was really detailed too. Like, I just want you to sign my Biodome poster, man. Sort of deal. I don't know.
On the subject of aliens and weirdos, I did meet the Fire in the Sky guy, but I was too young to realize that I met him. My mom took me to go see him for some weird reason. But I liked aliens, but I was too young to really like grasp who this fucking dude was. I just knew he was in like, he was based off of a movie I really liked.
You know, it's funny you're saying that and how he was like having those deep conversations with people about the aliens. Mm-hmm. If I was like a famous person at a convention to entertain myself, I would just do that to fuck with people.
Oh, dude, yeah. Just be like, this alien fucking cornholed me and go into graphic detail about that. There you go.
Not even aliens. You can tell some cryptozoology erotica.
The time I had a threesome with Bigfoot and the Yeti. And then the aliens abducted us and probed us all. There you go. Somebody go write that shit. But
aliens have straps strong enough to hold down the Yeti.
What's that Yeti porn? Fuck, what the hell is it called?
Which one?
We watch different kinds of porn.
It's not like a porn, it's like a porn comedy.
Sex Squatch?
It may be Sex Squatch. There's also
Bigfoot's Wild Weekend.
There's like two of them. Like, there's like two of these movies. Dom and JD from Postmortem Show Horror Podcast. They
the Beast?
No, it's something like yet, like. Something Yeti.
Yeti, a love story?
Yes, that's it.
Trauma. See, I knew. There we go. There's two of them.
There is a shocking amount of like.
Well, now we're going to cover Bigfoot. Those trauma months.
Well, no, there's a shocking amount of like Bigfoot, erotic Bigfoot literature. Like, there's but a lot of it. Like, it's something like on horror BookTube.
Coming soon to Patreon, we'll get some readings of it.
Ozzy is genuinely into the Bigfoot erotica, which I think is hilarious.
Which he will be reading very soon for us. On
not kink shaming Ozzy. You know, we all have our weird stuff. But
back on the Cosmic Dawn, though.
Yes, Cosmic Dawn. There you go.
There you go. Cosmic Dawn. There's a fucking Fleshlight idea for them. Yeah. Fucking. As far as rating this, I was kind of torn, but in my heart, it's a 3 out of 5. Like, I did like it enough to think it's above average, but like I said, just heed my warnings. Don't expect a horror movie. Don't expect a full-on alien abduction movie. Expect more just some weird fucking alien cult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got to give it a 3-2. I know I criticized a lot of things, but I did like it, but there are issues.
The ending also kind of got me. It was a little heartwarming. I was like, oh, okay, so like we get a happy ending. That's all right.
Yeah.
Every now and again, one of those will like hit with me. I'll be like, okay, now everything needs to be death and violence, but most of the time it does.
Yeah. Another, did any of you watch Roswell back in the day? Not the shitty remake.
The show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a fun show. William Sadler was in it.
It was all right. I remember being bored a lot, but I was also a kid, so.
I was dating a girl who was obsessed with it. So, like, for a while, like, I just memorized the fucking episodes just so I could impress her. It was actually pretty decent. Kind of an angsty, you know, teen sort of thing, but a lot better than modern day angsty teen shit. So, yeah, check out Roswell. It's pretty good. All right. Everybody rated it, right?
Yep.
Okay, sweet. All right. What do we got next? We have Shapeless. All right. So, Shapeless. Another brand new movie from director Samantha Aldana and based on a story by Kelly Murtaug, who is also the star of the movie. So she wears a lot of hats on this one. And in Shapeless, Ivy, a struggling singer in New Orleans, trapped in the hidden underworld of her eating disorder, must face her addiction or risk becoming a monster. All right, so this is another one, again, just odd that it's similar to, a Banquet in a way. Yeah. This one, though, is art house heavy. So if you're not really, really heavy into art house style, you may want to, avoid this one. It's also kind of all just kind of a metaphor for anorexia,
bulimia.
Yeah, bulimia, body dysmorphia. And also, I said this with the previous film, probably would have played better as a short film.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because this one, there's not a whole lot to it. It's kind of very David Lynch-esque. I don't want to, I hate invoking that name because that'll make people.
Yeah, that's a that,
see it, but
yeah, I wouldn't go that far. But it, yeah. I mean, it has its like little moments of horror, but it's not a straight up horror. Like it delves into a lot of the dramatic aspects of a story than, you know, the horror aspects, I think.
Yeah, we do get some pretty cool.
A couple nice little scenes of body horror.
Yeah, like a mouth growing on the back of the head and everything.
That was the other movie.
Oh, it was? No. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I thought that we had the mouth this was, on the this, face we, on the face, right?
Yeah, we had some weird like fingers and shit. Yeah.
Yeah. It was funny. I was watching these and I was like, okay, I gotta make sure I keep these straight. Yeah. They're similar. But yeah, this is where we had like the fingers. Actually, some of the effects in here are quite impressive.
Yeah.
So it's just unfortunately that's like 2 minutes of the movie. So the rest of it is, I mean, there's nothing to spoil, honestly. I mean, she's dealing with this condition and we get these trippy effects, you know, in her mind, how she's seeing herself in different scenarios and realizing that her dream of becoming a singer is slipping away from her. Not a whole lot happens. I mean, it's one of those movies. And this one I didn't like. I'm going to be honest, this one did not hit for me, but once again, if you've dealt with an eating disorder or something like this character does, I could see it having some power. I think it was an authentic performance from Kelly. I thought she was very good. It's just, it wasn't enough to sustain a 90-minute or however long it was movie. This should have been a short, but yeah, what did you think, Krueger? Just not the body horror film that I think a lot of people are going to want.
When I originally heard about this movie, that's what they were kind of selling it as a body horror movie. And why it does have those aspects to it, and those aspects are really good. I do think this is just, it's like a really weird art house drama more than it is a horror movie. I will say, though, like, this is kind of a touchy subject to me because in high school I was bulimic to make weight for wrestling, like multiple, like for probably about 3.5 years of my high school until I got kicked out. So this really does hit you in a certain area of your heart when you've gone through things like that. And I will say, some of the things I didn't really understand, but I, you know, it just kind of depended on how that disorder was for you personally. But there was like a lot when she's binge eating and then immediately, you know, puking up and fucking, you know, struggling to get the fucking puke out, like really hit home for me. And I was like, fuck, like there's some flashbacks right there. The acting, I think, also, like, you know, she directed this too, and that's fucking really. Or did she direct it, or did she write it? I forgot what you said.
She. It was based on her story, and she.
Yeah. So
it. Yeah, Samantha Aldana is the director.
Yeah. So her story, I think, definitely would have worked better as a short. But I am impressed that she, you know, took that part of herself and threw herself out there as also the leading role. I mean, that kind that probably was pretty difficult. I would have to think. I think if they would have focused more on the body horror and we got maybe, you know, another 5 to 8 minutes of that sprinkled throughout the movie, you would have had a way better final product. I also think that the way it ends super abruptly and, you know, just that an art house way.
Yeah, we're not, it's just, yeah, you knew all you needed to know like 15 minutes.
Yeah, so the ending kind of hurt it a little bit for me too, but I'll say, you know, if you've gone through that type of thing, I would kind of warn you to watch it or not. Cause like going in, I was thinking, you know, super body horror and like this more or less kind of depressed me more than, you know, it had me gushing for body horror on the screen. So, and you know, I'm usually not that type of guy, But there's certain movies like that that really fuck me up, like Dead Dicks, like that movie, like just
yeah, I remember you had it.
I was like, that really fucked me up. Like, I don't know why. I can watch fucking babies getting decapitated and all types of fucked up sexual violence, but fucking when it just sometimes something hits you a certain way, and that it kind of did for me. So I didn't really enjoy it, but I think there's an audience out here that is gonna really, really fucking think this movie's great. I already know a couple of people that I follow on Letterboxd have praised it pretty highly.
Yeah, definitely.
But just for me, like I'm kind of in the middle, you know, I like some things about it, and I think it has a good message there, or, you know, and it does a decent job of telling that type of disorder in a movie format. But at the same time, it's not something I'm going to rewatch, not something I need in my collection, or something I would necessarily recommend to just the average horror fan.
So Dan, where do you think I landed on this one?
Well, I think it's very clear that, Todd, you and I beat anorexia, so you know,
dude, I'm probably bigger than you, Dan. What the fuck are you talking
about? I will tell you the truth. The only time I used to make myself puke is because I drank too much and I wanted to be sober in the morning.
I still do that shit, but well,
I didn't get up and take the kids to school, so it was the whole thing. No, I'm kidding.
That's fucked up. Before I tagged you, Todd, though, I wanted to shout out Jamie Newman, who plays Addie in this. I've really enjoyed her. She was in The Deuce. Such a good show. I fucking love The Deuce. And Lovecraft Country. So it's kind of cool seeing her getting more work here. But yeah, Todd, I'm going to predict you fucking hated it.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was telling Kruger before we went on the air, because I didn't have as much time this week to get all five in. So I got two in easy. And then I was like, okay, I watched the trailers for the three. Like, which one should I get in? This is actually not the one I would have picked. I would have probably watched Cosmic Dawn, but the runtime was the shortest. So I was like, all right, I'll watch this. Mm-hmm. And God, I wish I would have just watched two movies this week. Yeah, I did think the imagery when she was puking and the fingers bit, I thought that was really cool.
But yeah, the body horror, like if they would have dived into that aspect, and there's a lot of shit, like honestly, when you have gone, like there's a lot of shit you could really do that could be interesting, like to show that's horrific. And some of the stuff that they went with, like, you know, the little things on her legs opening up, like that I think could have been used for something more powerful and actually having to do with the disorder. I mean, it probably does, but just not for me. I didn't understand where the direct correlation was.
Yeah. I know with your experiences, Kruger, because it would have been around the same time. Is this when you got to spar with Brock Lesnar?
Yes. Yes.
Because somebody had asked about that actually, I think on Reach. What was it like? What did you think? Because I mean, I know you know he's not going to kill you, but at the same time, it's Brock fucking Lesnar. That had to be intimidating.
Yeah. So, like in high school, I was a big dude, like going into my freshman year. And they had made a new weight class around that time. So I'd cut down to 220 pounds from 285. So that was kind of where that all stemmed. But on the Brock Lesnar thing, he had showed up to Jay Robinson intensive training camp in Minnesota. This would probably be around 2010-ish. Mm-hmm. And he had just showed up for one day. I think he was rolling around with Tony Nelson, who at the time had either just won his NCAA championship or he's about to. And Brock was rolling around with him because Jay Robinson was like his boy and kind of the guy that picked him up from a D2 school and brought him to a D1. And we rolled around and he beat the fucking shit out of me. Like he was legit. Like it was like trying to move a fucking tree. Like it, like you would go and shoot in on a takedown and he wouldn't like move a single inch. And then he would just head and arm you and fucking fling you across the room. You go fly, hit the fucking wall or some shit, or go flying off the mat and hit the basketball court. And you would be like, Jesus Christ. Yeah, definitely not somebody to fuck around with. And like, what's scary is that's him like removed from wrestling for a while. Like, he was still like MMA fighting, obviously, but like, I know that wasn't what he was training every day. Like, he was training to beat the fuck out of people. And the fact that he, like, his wrestling skills still held up to that level, I mean, probably still made sense because obviously he was in the UFC at the time, but it was fucking scary, dude.
Yeah, that would have been like what, 2 years, 2 or 3 years before he came back? Something
like
that.
It was around the time that he had fought fucking not Cain Velasquez, Alistair Overeem. So it was like around his last UFC fight before he came back and beat the shit out of Mark Hunt in 2016. but yeah, we're talking about, I think, a little bit more interesting shit than this movie.
And since we're at a props to Cain Velasquez, so.
Free Cain.
Yeah, for sure, dude. Like, fucking, that shit breaks my heart, but would have did the same fucking thing. I think a lot of the fathers would have. So, yeah, free Cain Velasquez, because that motherfucking piece of shit that was molesting fucking people at that daycare literally got out on bail in like 2 days.
That's California.
Yeah. Fucking ugh. But anyways, before I fucking I piss off somebody I shouldn't, why don't we rate Shameless and move on? So for me, I'm a 2.5 out of 5. I think anything higher would be a little too much because I didn't really enjoy my experience completely. But for the body horror alone, I think 2.5 is respectable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it. I'm 2.5 too. I mean, it's very well made, and it will connect with some of you, not most of you though. Yeah.
And I'm one of those most of yous. I'm a 1.5.
Okay. All right. And what's up, Crack Rock? How's it going? And yeah, Jamie, you might like this movie. It's very trippy and. Yeah, I think people who have been through that, which is a lot, will, you know, connect with it probably. All right. So moving on to our main event of the evening. Now, I will say before I get into this one, I was very, very excited. I'll get into it first before. So there's too many. This is an anthology and there are many directors on this, but the directors of the main story, and this is Dead by Midnight, Why to Kill, and the directors are Dave Crimmins, Eric Davis, Jay Holloway, Tori Haas, and I believe Hannah Fireman also did direct one, I think. And Greg Garrison. I probably left out because there's commercials here too, and so if I didn't say a director name, I do apologize. And shout out to Hannah. She was on Lauren's show, visited by Voices One a while back. Really good interview and really cool lady. So about this movie. It's Halloween at a local television station, WKIZ, when the vengeful Mistress of Midnight arrives to host her annual horror movie marathon, Dead by Midnight. Be careful, because she's out to prove that she's still the most hellish host around, and those who watch will be dead by midnight. Starring horror legends Cain Hodder, Bill Moseley, Aaron Brown, Hannah Fireman, and Linnea Quigley.
Dan, I'm sorry. Did you mention that this was a follow-up sequel?
I did not, actually.
Yeah, there's apparently a 6-episode... or at least that's how it came up on IMDb. It was like 6-episode series or something like that.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
That runs an hour and a half, called Dead by Midnight, 11 Central.
Oh, interesting.
Which I haven't been able to find anywhere.
Yeah, I couldn't find it either.
Nothing. And we scour the dark web, everything we could find.
Yeah.
Well, so, you don't have to. I mean, this is basically standalone stories, but yeah.
I feel like that intro, though, like, may have had some shit from the other movie.
And then later in it, too. There's something later that happens that also feeds into what came before, I think. But it doesn't affect your... See, Dan didn't even...
I didn't know. No, I didn't. I mean, in watching it, I didn't get any sense of that. So that isn't, we will have to track that down. Yeah. So, but what really caught my eye, Aaron Brown, AKA Misty Mundy. I was a huge fan FKA. Of, yes, formerly known as she, Aaron Brown has had a good run too, but I was a huge Misty Mundy fan back in the day, the Seduction Cinema era, a Playmate of the Apes, Spider Babe, Lord of the G-Strings, Mummy Raider, all of these great late night Skinamax titles. And I have them all to this day. I have a Playmate of the Apes poster signed by the cast on my bathroom door.
He used one of the movies earlier this afternoon.
Yes, indeed. And so, yeah, that really caught my eye because she's done a few things for Beelzebub, which if you're familiar with that name, an indie horror staple for 20 Dick years Shark? Now. Yeah, stuff like Dick Shark and very fetish kind of oriented stuff. So besides that, I don't really get to see Aaron all that often in the movie.
So and, I'm going to go with Ben as he's stroking her off. Hannah Fearman, that's where my money's at. Sorry for the old Dan's old.
She's beautiful too. I put her over, Todd.
I know.
But Misty's Misty, God damn it. It's hard to beat her.
I'd strongly disagree, but two nah, each is one.
but yes, really good cast. So I will say first off, very tongue-in-cheek, goofy tone to this anthology. There's nothing taken seriously, and there's, for the most part. So if you're looking for that kind of horror anthology, best to skip this one. Hell Evangelist, the first story, I guess you could say was the one that was somewhat serious. Kind of a cool little story about a granny and kind of doing some really, really bad things to this televangelist that she sees on TV. Other than that, like, I thought the highlight for me were some of the Kane Hodder commercials.
That was the total highlight of the whole fucking movie, dude.
Yeah, Murderall, I think. It was just like, you know, I get the urge to kill Offset and, you know, just him taking these pills and, of course, they don't work towards the end, which leads to some comedy. I thought that commercial segment was probably the highlight. The best story for me, and I know I'm jumping around a little bit here, but probably I would have to say Clean Your Room was my favorite. That one's just about this slacker son who just goofs off, plays video games, and refuses to clean his room when his mom asks him. So basically his mess of clothes and random crap turns into a monster that chases him around the house. I thought that was pretty cool.
The monster could have looked cooler.
Yeah, it could have. I mean, it's just a mass of clothes.
The LED lights were fucking stupid looking.
This one... I actually think this movie was basically filmed in my backyard because I was looking at the end credits. And so I thought that was actually kind of
cool. Why didn't Mitch Bauer fucking show up? God damn it.
You know, Mitch Bauer is a character that appeared in a really stupid fucking filmmaker's movie. So I do feel like Mitch Bauer deserves to be in something
good. He should have popped up and called somebody the N-word or something.
Mitch Bauer is not a racist, so
thought he was.
It's complicated.
Well,
it's
and if you don't know, you can go watch this movie on our
Patreon.
Patreon, and you might see clips of it soon in something else. I'll just leave it at that.
Oh, right. Really? Okay,
I got the message today.
Oh, shit. Stay tuned for that shit.
Yeah, we'll tell you what we're talking about next week. Yeah, keep something special for the Patreon stream.
There you go. I thought that segment was amusing. We also get a wrestling segment in here, Gut Cruncher, which Kruger, you don't look like you liked it.
Fucking hated it, dude. I was just like, it pisses me off when you have these wrestling segments and you don't have this guy throwing these fucking people around. Like, he did like one move the whole fucking time. It's like, come on, man. Like, do so, like, you can throw these people around without hurting them and like have really cool kills out of that. Like,
But you paused there. I don't, or maybe I paused. Did I freeze?
I think we're good.
Okay. Sorry. Want to make sure I wasn't.
Okay. No, what I was saying is just like, I feel like you need to, when you have a wrestling segment, you need to do more wrestling moves and fucking use the ring and use stupid hokey wrestling shit. I mean, it had a couple of moments in there, but overall, yeah, I wasn't a fan. It was more like that. What the fuck was it? Not WrestleMania. What was that terrible one that we fucking watched? That
that the referee that was in it was all bitching on her.
Yeah, he was all butthurt at us.
Oh, the one Severn put out, Dan.
Mask Mutilator. Yeah, that was fucking piece of shit.
Yeah, that was bad. I anytime I look, even something like Monster Brawl, which I know a lot of people like, and it does have its moments, but I don't know. Maybe I just know too much about wrestling, because every time I look at like a wrestling horror thing, I in my head, I'm like, I could do that better. It would be a lot cooler if they did this.
Yeah, that's my problem is like, yeah, there hasn't been one out there other than El Gigante, which is a short that's on Shudder.
Yeah,
that short is the only wrestling thing I've seen. So I've seen WrestleManiac, but I don't remember. I need to revisit it. But I've heard that's like everybody's gold standard when it comes to that. Outside of just watching Kane kill people and see no evil. I mean, he does choke slam a couple of folk.
Well, I will say go and watch the old Santo films from Mexico, which I got to get that box set. I keep forgetting. But yeah, no, I still think the definitive wrestling horror movie is yet to be made. So it'll happen at some point. Maybe Flesh Wound's the one to do it. It's... I didn't hate anything in this. It's just, it's very goofy in terms of its humor, and you have to be in the mood for that. Hannah's a great host. And Misty, oh my God, she is still so beautiful. And I hope to see her in more stuff.
Agree to disagree, but...
Well, yeah, you know, like I've said,
if she just acts and keeps her clothes on, she doesn't bother me.
She's fucking...
Dad, it's my opinion. Her. I don't need to Google her. I've seen her movies.
What seduction cinema girl would be the gold standard?
None of them, actually. I don't think. Well,
see, Ruby LaRocca?
No, I mean, technically she falls in Secret Key, and now I'm blanking on her name. I brought her up, the Glorianne Gilbert.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, you like the bigger tits. That's fine. But
versus none.
Misty is the... Yeah, she does, though. You keep saying that. She does. They're just not huge. They're nice. They're okay. Nice. But anyways.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. Again, you can vote for us now.
Yes, vote for us now in Horror Podcast of the Month. So I like this. It made me smile. It's probably a one-time watch. Maybe you'll get a little bit more if you're a fan of some of the actors. Linnea's in it very briefly. And, we didn't touch on Bill Moseley does voice a killer cat, which was fun. Maybe that sounds better than what they deliver on, but...
It would have been cool if they did it old-school cartoon style and not with that shitty CG. Because, like, there was some of the parts that it just did not look right. Like where the camera was, and then you see this model walk into the shot. For me, this I really didn't have a good time with anything outside of Murder All. Murder All is great, but even that alone, I wouldn't say is worth sitting through, you know, the 90 minutes that this brings, because Hell of the Angelist or the first segment, that one just was lackluster. Jasper the Cat. I already talked about, like, the CGI was just terrible. Even though Bill Moseley was kind of cool and having him voice the cat. And also the story with that, I think there is a lot of potential actually with that story specifically, but not with the budget that they had. So that one was kind of lackluster. Clean Your Room just grossed me the fuck out, to be honest with you, because I know somebody exactly like that. Fucking cock socks all over the goddamn room and Cheeto dust fucking grosses me the fuck out. So I was like, I pictured myself in somebody I know's room and I was like, oh, I don't fucking want to be here anymore. And plus, I just thought the monster was kind of fucking stupid. So that one really didn't do anything. Heroes of Time was the worst shit ever. That was so fucking goddamn hard to get through, man. I wanted to turn the movie off so many times just with everybody with the shitty accents and the horrible, horrible CGI. And then that leaves us with Gut Cruncher, which was just a lackluster fucking, you know, wrestling segment. I thought it was ironic that, you know, this high school gym has a pro wrestling ring randomly in the fucking thing. And then Gut Cruncher himself, like, maybe if he looked a little bit cooler, I would have been more into it.
He looked like a heel from Avatar, kind of. Like one of the Avatar creatures, whatever they're called, and orc fucked kind of.
Yeah, but not even like nearly as good. I would have preferred fucking CGI Avatar than this shit, because like the makeup effects weren't that great. And then these stupid cheerleaders that just had the horns, you know, paint and then painted blue, like that shit was just stupid. So yeah,
I could have used some skin. This one could have used some skin. That was one thing I thought.
If those cheerleaders were fucking naked, then, you know, I probably wouldn't have been as upset. But if they were of age, I don't know. They were in the high school. So don't quote me on that one. But anyways, overall, not really a good time. I'm never going to watch this again. But for the sure fact of the weird gremlins flying in the first like couple of seconds of the movie, I'm interested to check out the other one just to see what the fuck that's about. But yeah, I know, maybe if I could just clip out Murder All and, you know, or somebody just needs to upload that clip to YouTube or something, and then I'm good for this. But if you're a hardcore Kane Hodder fan, though, you may want to check it out, because Murder All is pretty great. And it does have one, like, the only good practical effect in the whole fucking movie with one of the kills that Kane does. So that was nice to see, at least.
Before I pass to you, Todd, and get your thoughts, in the chat, Vicente brings up Where the Dead Go to Die from Jimmy Screamer Claus. He is a guy that I knew back in my chiller days. I knew he's friends with Victor Bonacor. If you're an indie horror fan, you should check out Victor's stuff. He's done some great documentaries. He gave me like a compilation of like fucked up underground cartoons I have somewhere. But Where the Dead Go to Die is essential if you want to watch a trippy, just absolutely bonkers, disturbing animated movie.
Yeah, I still need to see it.
I haven't talked to him in years. I got to reach out and get him on the show sometime.
Yeah, it's one of the few unearthed films I haven't seen.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's messed up. So, Todd, what did you think?
Not surprising. I'm closer to Dan on this one. I had a good time.
Yeah.
The only one that I hated, you already mentioned Krueger, which
Oh, my God.
What was it called again?
Fucking, what the hell? Heroes of Time?
Yeah.
Oh, God. I think you have to be into, like, that RPG, like, or maybe that's not the word, but like that recreation.
The World of Warcraft bullshit.
Yeah, I think if you're into that, you'll get more out of that story. That's how I
agree. That's how I felt too, but it was just hard for me. And I get like the kind of lame CGI was supposed to feed into it, but when I can see that it's not properly keyed and the edges are all jagged, I was like, no. If you want to have a fake background look like Spy Kids 3, that's fine. But at least key it right so I don't see that it's all jagged edges.
Dude, Spy Kids 2 is so bad, too. I just recently watched a clip from it. I'm like, how the fuck did I like this when I was a kid?
Spy Kids 3 is worse. Oh, my God. And that's, like, one of the only 3D movies, like, I never want to watch again.
I saw that in theaters.
Whew, rough. That and Sharkboy and Lava Girl. So, two 3D movies that I just do not. I hate them.
I don't blame you. Well, why don't we rate this bitch then? for me, and this is actually a little bit higher than I'm wanting to go, but because of Murder All, I am a 1.5 out of 5.
Okay. What say you, Todd?
I'm a 3. I had a good time with it.
Yeah, I'm a 3 as well. You have to be in one of those kind of goofy moods, but I like anthology horror. I always have. It's very rare. And I can't say I hated any of the segments. Heroes of Time, again, I didn't connect with because I'm not. I kind of felt the same way with Knights of Badassdom, which is a good movie, but like I don't connect with that world. So yeah, I don't know why feel you don't
like it, Dan.
I don't feel like,
you could say why you don't like it.
I think the dink was great in
that. We've already lost the little vote.
But we're going to get it back. We're going to campaign and we're going to get it back. That'll put us over the edge in the vote. But that same way. That one I actually liked. I felt like it's appealing to a group that I'm just not a member of. But overall, I did have fun with this, and I probably would revisit it again down the line, because I didn't hate any of the stories, and that's actually a mark of a pretty decent anthology. But like I said, don't go to this one for scares. I'm a 3 as well.
I think I would like to see the first one. Kruger, what about you? Would you be willing to check that one out?
Yeah, the first one, like I said before, the flying little gremlin monsters. Those look really fucking cool. So I'm interested in seeing what the hell that has to entail. But yeah, I mean, I'd check it out. I mean, any anthology, I'm willing to give a shot at least once, because there'll be at least one thing that I do like from it. And I mean, even though I didn't really like this, Murder All, I did like that. So
I have a question, and this is all I'm going to say. Dan, don't react. Kruger, have you seen Creepshow 3?
Yeah, but I was really, really, really young. I do not remember it. Other than like the Mummy one, I think.
No, because that gets a lot of hate, and I just was curious where you landed. I'd have to rewatch it, but yeah.
I mean, the first Creepshow is like one of my favorite fucking horror movies ever. But and 2 I like a lot, but I don't. It's not on the same level as the first one.
I love 2.
Yeah, but 3, I've never felt the need to revisit.
I don't think it's a good movie either.
No, Creepshow 3 is a fucking turd, and I watched it once, and I will stick to it.
Chris was like turd. That too, but there was one segment I thought was pretty entertaining, but I can't remember it now. Maybe
it's not as bad as Day of the Dead
2. That's my thing.
Contagium, which made up a fucking word that doesn't exist. Day of the Dead Contagium is... I'll put Creepshow 3 over that, but Creepshow 3 is still a piece of shit. It's terrible.
Day of the Dead Bloodlines is pretty fucking good.
Creepshow
3 Day of the Dead Bloodlines is a masterpiece compared to Day of the Dead Contagion.
I haven't seen that one, but
wasn't it Creepshow 3? They were making a Creepshow box set in Germany, and people were so mad they
took it out.
Yeah. And you still paid the same, but
you know what? Okay, we'll take it out, but we had a license. You're not paying any less.
Honest to God, if they put out a set in the U.S. and had Creepshow 3 on it, same price point without it, I think they would lose sales having it on there. Like, that is how bad that fucking piece of shit
I mean,
is.
Did it hurt? I Spit on Your Grave set get hurt by that fucking, Deja Vu? Because
yeah, but this was worse than that. Deja Vu
is dude, Deja like, Vu is like the, it. Deja Vu is the worst fucking shit ever. That I hate that movie. That's like I've one of the Blu-rays twice. Where I'm like, I'll never watch it fucking again.
I've watched it twice, and I'll probably see it again in my lifetime.
I'm sure you
will. A couple moments in a 2.5 fucking hour, like
it's the end game of
let me shoot these bushes over here for like a minute, like because why not?
But it gave you the nude scene you never wanted, but that you were so happy you got, Dan.
Which one, Maria?
Oh yeah.
Hey.
I didn't want that shit.
If this would have been after we saw her up at at the Warner Brothers lot, you would have been like all about it. I saw your movie.
Was it Pugs that yelled trophy heads as we headed out? That was, yeah, she was the nun in the Exorcist house, I think. And yeah, trophy heads. And then she kind of looked for a second because she wasn't expecting that. I thought that was funny. So yeah, avoid Creepshow 3, guys. I don't remember a single good
thing. And you know what? Live commentary coming soon.
Oh, God.
We will see.
You know what? we should do, like, Day of the Dead. I've never had the urge to watch. It's like one of those, like we did with Axum. Those, like, ones that were just going to rip the whole time.
Yeah, that's true.
Ooh. Yeah, Axum. Goddamn, that's hard to sit through. Like, it genuinely, that one's not overrated in terms of how crappy it is. And just, like, there is nothing to comment on. We're just watching random characters that have nothing to do with the story hang out.
Our conversation going on why the movie was happening was definitely way more entertaining than the movie.
Yeah. And fighting going to sleep, too, because that movie is, ooh, good Lord. But, yeah.
And you can go check out that commentary on Patreon right now.
Yes. And once again, for those joining us late, if you haven't voted yet, please do. It is, the link to vote is in the description, but I will post it one last time in our chat. And that should take you to Garrett's channel. Be sure to subscribe to Garrett as well if you haven't. He does really awesome content. And yeah, all you got to do is type flesh wound features in the comments of Garrett's video, that specific video, and we'll get a vote out of it. So yeah, we appreciate that very much, guys.
And also don't forget Sunday, our Wednesday show will be live Sunday on Patreon, so you can get it a little bit early. And like Todd alluded to before, we may have a special announcement. So
Oh, I'm kind of curious to see what this announcement is, because I don't know what it is. So,
well, he does. Dan just doesn't remember a lot. So
it's all right.
Okay. Well, maybe I do.
Well,
maybe
he's excited for you guys. There you go.
I'll pop for it again because I don't remember. So yeah. So yeah, it all starts at $1, guys. So if you want to hang out with us live on Patreon, again, patreon.com/fleshwoundfeatures. And it will be on Wednesday as well, just not live.
Yep. And so catch us there Sunday, 10 p.m. Pacific, 1 a.m. Eastern.
Eastern, yes. So before we bow out.
You know what? I'm going to do it. Well, we got to give a shout out to Pugs, who's still like MIA. He'll be back, guys.
He will be back, hopefully sooner rather than later. But if not this month, hopefully next month.
If you want to find him, I heard he's at Disneyland, so.
Right. Oh, I thought he got pulled over.
Well, yes, he did. we'll just go. I don't want to do the joke again.
So, thanks for voting, guys. We really appreciate it. And until next time, good night.
Good evening.
Stay sick, motherfuckers.